Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Dan Lanning on the job at Oregon, Kalen DeBoer at Washington, Lincoln Riley at USC. National recruiting analyst, 24/7 Sports, Greg Biggins. He's got his finger on the pulse of what's going on with recruiting. I want to talk about recruiting. I want to talk about the transfer portal with Biggins. Name, image, likeness. The game is changing. And he is the expert when it comes to recruiting and reporting on it. You should be following him on Twitter, at Greg Biggins on Twitter, and he's joining us now. Biggins, what are you doing today?
You know what? My daughter's got a soccer game.
Okay.
That's exciting, right? Who doesn't love Frost-Off girls soccer? I sure do. And I'm just trying to recover from Hawaii. I was there for a week covering the Polynesian Bowl, and that was a good time. And I know that was a jerk move. I actually do love soccer, and I do love my daughter. I do love girls soccer. So, hey, it's a win-win for me. So, no, I got home on Sunday, and it's just been a couple days of just trying to recap what we saw up there. And kind of the rush to February 2nd, the second signing day, although it's not anywhere near what it used to be. It's still always a good time with a few surprises, I'm sure, will be expected. So, yeah, that's it for me.
I've got three daughters, Biggins, so I know what you're doing there.
I do, too. Yes, sir.
I know your pain, you know mine, so we have that like in common. Let me ask you – this is off topic, but when you are watching your kid play a sport, you're surrounded by parents, some of whom have both feet on the ground and eyes wide open, but there are a faction of parents who don't really see the world accurately, and they're in it for a scholarship, and they're disillusioned, and I'm looking over going, hey, your kid's probably a really good high school player, but yeah, no, I've seen college players in volleyball and soccer, and I don't see it. Do you overhear those conversations, or do people come up to you and go, hey, Biggins, you know, how does my kid get recruited? Like, because you're the recruiting guy.
You know, so true story, and I hope this doesn't paint me in a bad light because I do it out of respect, but I actually position myself like 40 yards away from every parent. So it's just me, my wife. I used to be one of those obnoxious parents also who would like, you know, I enjoy the trash talk, whether it be the ref or the opposing coach, the player. And I'm like, you know what, I'm need to mature a little bit. So I would, you know, in soccer, like, you're literally like, if you're on the 50-yard line, or, you know, soccer is 120 yards or whatever, 110. If you're on the halfway line, like, you're literally right in club soccer, right? You're next to the other team, like, right next to them. So me being, you know, immature, I'd always sit, like, right at that halfway line. And I just enjoyed the give it, you know, back and forth. And then finally my wife got so embarrassed that she moved way away from me. So now, in order to kind of limit myself from trash talking other teams, and also to, you know, I don't want to hear other parents just be exactly how you described it. We go way, like, almost like behind the goal. So we're like 40 yards away. We eat our sunflower seeds. We chill, relax. We have a good time with it. High school soccer was really low key. Club soccer, man, like, people get, like, intense. They're going, dude, it's not the World Cup. It's like, come on now. But, you know, for some of these people, man, it is their Super Bowl. So, yeah, that's it. The way you described it is absolutely 100% right on. It's hilarious.
Can you, for listeners out there that may have kids in middle school or grade school and will be going through this one day, you know, I always tell people, if your kid can play, the coaches will find you. You don't need scouting services. You don't need to make a videotape unless the coach is asking you for highlights. But what advice do you give to kids out there that are maybe, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, they're about to hit, you know, high time for getting attention or maybe trying to get a scholarship?
Yeah, no, I say just enjoy, you know, it's like you said at the top, it's a new world, not just with NIL, and I know you're talking about high school, but we're now seeing youth kids, 7th and 8th grade, you know, they're doing edits to announce what high school they're going to. Like, true story, out here in Southern California where it's a little bit more nutty, you know, I've seen that a few times. I'm there, this is my final four, and it's to pick your high school, and you're an 8th grader. I just want to reach out and say, dude, like, we don't want to see that. Like, you don't need to do an edit. You don't need to do any kind of list. Just, like, be a kid. Just be a regular kid, and don't worry about being recruited yet. Just play for the love of the game. That sounds so corny and cliche, but I even tell high school parents this. I say, you know what? You will steal the joy from your kid in high school, because if their whole mindset is, you know, I got to get a scholarship. I got to get a scholarship. And, you know, if I don't start here as a freshman, I got to transfer here. If I don't start here, I'm transferring there. And, like, I just feel like things are so warped now. You know, John, like, when me and you were young, right, you went to your local high school and you played because you loved it and you played every sport and you didn't really care as much. Yeah, you wanted to go to college and play if you could, but it wasn't the biggest issue. Now it is. And so I just try to tell parents, don't steal the joy from your kids. Let them play because they love the game. It brings them joy. Hopefully it brings you joy as a parent. And don't focus on all those other things. It will happen. You know, if he's good enough, like you said, I use that line many times. If you're good, they will find you. And just work on things that matter away from, you know, your sport. Be a good kid. Be a good teammate. Go get, you know, straight A's. Sit in front of, you know, front of the class. Ask questions. You know, be a good brother, sister, role model, all that stuff. Again, I know it may sound corny, but that's the message I try to tell parents and kids. And hopefully they're listening at least a little bit.
Greg Biggins with us, national recruiting guru, 24/7 Sports. Let's focus on the portal first. How has the portal changed kind of what kids are talking about or maybe the decisions they're making? Because now we're not talking about a 4, 5, 6 year decision. This could be, 12 months and, hey, you can change your mind.
So the recruiting approach is radically different for the kid and also for the colleges. So for the kid, and this may sound crazy, but this actually, these are real discussions. They will say, okay, I'm going to pick this school, but this is going to be my backup portal option. So if I don't like it within a year, I'm going to go to that school. Or I have these other options and, you know, it's a risk if I go across the country to that school, but you know what? If it doesn't work out, I can always jump into the portal in the spring. I'm not really going to miss anything. So, and I always say this, man, you better be very, very sure where you're going to go to school and don't rely on the portal, because a lot of these kids are making the mistake of thinking, you know, when I go into the portal, I'm going to have the same exact options I had when I was in high school. And that's just not the case. I mean, Caleb Williams, yes. But most of these kids that had 10 offers, they're going to the portal and they're finding out that, you know what, those schools that wanted me in high school, they've moved on. And all of a sudden, unless you already have a school in place before you jump into the portal, that's a risk. That's why you're seeing the portal right now has, I don't know how many kids, but it's like thousands of kids, right, that aren't going anywhere. So, and then for colleges, it's radically different. They're literally only offering or only wanting to bring in, you know, maybe 15 to 18 high school kids versus the 25 that you're allowed to bring in those last 5, 6, 7 spots that used to be reserved for high school kids, which are maybe you're not a high risk kid, but maybe a guy you thought could be a development guy down the road. Maybe he's a guy that we think, you know, we can redshirt him and then he'll be good in a couple of years. Those kids aren't getting spots anymore because you're going to say, if I'm a college, I can get a guy that I've watched for college for 2 years. I know what he can do. That's going to be my final 5, 6 spots, that guy. So you're seeing way less high school kids have opportunities that they used to have just 5 years ago.
Greg Biggins with us, national recruiting guru, 24/7 Sports. Lincoln Riley at USC. He gets Travis Dye from Oregon. He got a running back from Stanford. He got a receiver from Colorado. What do you see happening with Lincoln Riley and the enthusiasm around his arrival at USC?
It's been huge. It really has. He's done a good job putting a pretty aggressive recruiting staff together that's well connected. And, you know, he's not wasting time. You know, he's the number I've heard of, in terms of how many kids they want to bring in via the portal over this year and maybe even into the spring and fall is almost like 25 to 30 kids. I mean, they're literally going to, like, they want to win right now and they don't have the roster to win right now. So if it's, you know, if it's old school, you know, dog eat dog, you know, there might just be some kid that flat out just get cut. in order to make room for guys that he wants. And so, you know, the message that I've heard, you know, just via kids is, hey, they want to win right now. And the best way to do that is to go get guys that can play right now. And so he's going to completely rearrange his whole roster by year one. You know, from a high school standpoint, again, being very aggressive, they're having their junior day. Oregon, the last couple of weekends, had some big visit weekends. USC has theirs this weekend, probably 20 to 25 kids. And, you know, not just the 23s, but even some 20, 24s are going to be there. So, you know, again, he's a recruiter. You know, some head coaches, we said a lot with Mario when he was at Oregon. You know, he loves the chase. He's a very active, involved head coach as a recruiter. Lincoln is the same way. He's the guy that, you know, you take a visit to your school. At Oklahoma, he always did this. He'd meet you in the parking lot. A lot of times the head coach is the last guy you meet. He's out in front of it. And he's still got, like I said, some coaches on that staff that are really good, that are really aggressive. So, you know, I expect USC to turn things around pretty quickly.
Caleb Williams, how long before he ends up at USC? I mean, the whisper is he's headed there, probably happened today, tomorrow, sometime. But do you think it's a foregone conclusion he's with Lincoln Riley?
You know, I do, but, you know, I kind of just, I kept hearing, you know, for the last week, maybe even the last week and a half, Dundale, Caleb's committed tomorrow. Then the next day, you know, Caleb's committed tomorrow. And so it's just kind of, it's drawn out, and I'm not sure what's taking so long. You know, there was some talk that UCLA was involved. Now there's some talk that LSU is a real player, but it's always just been USC. You know, some of the scuttlebutt might be, well, he's dragging it out because, you know, they don't want it to look like, you know, there was tampering involved, right? So if Caleb commits, like, the second he goes in the portal, you're going to have a lot of irate, upset Oklahoma fans, which, I mean, right now you already do have a lot of upset Oklahoma fans every time, you know, USC does something. But that was my only guess as to why it was taking so long. I don't really see anything else out there for him right now. It just makes sense, right? The second Jackson Dart hit the portal, it just seemed like, okay, Dart doesn't leave unless USC feels really confident they're getting Caleb. Because, I mean, I like Dart. I think Dart can play. I mean, I think he's got a future as an NFL guy. So, you know, I think it just seems to make sense. Caleb follows Lincoln Riley. And, you know, he's day one guy and got 2 years to go. And, you know, they build around him. They already have a couple receivers who have said, yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, potentially playing with Caleb. So, meaning transfer portal receivers, Brendan Rice, Mario Williams, also from Oklahoma. So, yeah, I guess my long-winded way of saying I think it happens, but I have no idea when, because I've been guessing it's going to happen any day now for 2 weeks.
We're talking to Greg Biggins, 24/7 Sports. Dan Lanning at Oregon. The staff that he has put together, okay, it raised some eyebrows. Let me just say that, because you've got some guys there like Tosh Lupoy who have painted outside the lines. Not everybody was comfortable with it. What did you make? As somebody in the recruiting world, as you saw that staff assembled, what's Oregon doing?
Yeah, no, I'm a Tosh guy. I covered him at De La Salle. So, you know, a lot of these coaches, it shows how old I am, but a lot of these guys I've known since they were in high school. So, is Tosh, does he kind of play, you know, on that edge a little bit? Absolutely. But you know what? As a recruiter, he's probably on my Mount Rushmore over the last 25 years. I could even give you the other four. Probably Ed Orgeron would be on there. Just talking assistant coaches, Tosh is probably one of the four best I've ever seen. And people have asked, you know, what does Tosh do? He is relentless in how hard he recruits. He's phenomenal in making connections, whether it be the kid, whether it be the parent, mom or dad, whether it be the handler, the trainer. I mean, and Tosh, again, I use this term a lot. He loves the chase, man. He for him, he's a highly competitive kid. You know, all of De La Salle guys are. And he just loves it, you know. And he's you look at some of the guys he was able to bring to Cal. And I'm not demeaning Cal, great school. But, you know, Cal is not one of those schools that's on a lot of kids' bucket list. And Tosh was, I mean, they're going to get, you know, they were set to get Shaq Thompson, Eric Armstead. I mean, until Tosh left to go, you know, elsewhere. So, I mean, he's phenomenal. Adrian Clem has always been a very good recruiter. Demetrius Martin has always been a very strong recruiter. I mean, top to bottom, you look at it, it just seemed like that was the priority. And maybe some people are saying, hey, can these guys coach? Or is it just a recruiting staff? I think you always want to kind of have that balance. So, but if we're just talking strictly from just a recruiting standpoint, and they got some guys that are very, very aggressive that are going to battle. Doesn't matter if it's a Pac-12 school or an SEC school. Dan Lanning, again, I'll say what I said about Lincoln Riley and Mario. Dan Lanning is a very involved head coach. He's only been a head coach for a couple of weeks, but I'm saying as an assistant, very aggressive recruiter. I'm already seeing that approach. Talking to Jaleel Florence, Dan Lanning called him walking off the field after they just beat Alabama, saying, Jaleel, just won a national championship. Come to Oregon. I want you to come play for me. And if you're a 17, 18-year-old kid, how huge is that, that a coach is calling you as he's walking off the field, right? He thinks enough about you to make a phone call to you. I mean, it's huge how, huge for kids to have that connection with the coaching staff. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to some of these, you know, SC, Oregon, you know, Oregon, Alabama. I mean, some of these battles are going to be a lot of fun to watch for me as a recruiting fan.
Is it more interesting to you now that, you know, you've got a change at Washington, change at USC, change at Oregon, Crystal Ball, who was fun to probably cover in the recruiting world, is out. But is it more interesting now to you with kind of the changes going on?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think Oregon was already interesting, right? Because Mario, you can't say anything negative about him, about his recruiting approach or how successful they were. So, you know, I think Oregon is still going to do what they do, which is, you know, be aggressive getting kids on campus, and they're going to relentlessly pursue guys. I think USC is going to be fun to watch. I would love to see, you know, I hope Kalen DeBoer does well at Washington. I like him. I like some of the coaches. Courtney Morgan is his director of player personnel, another guy I've covered. I hope Washington does well. It'd be fun, you know, as a West Coast guy to see the Pac-12 kind of become, you know, nationally relevant, right? I would love to see Washington, UCLA become good again. It was fun when Stanford was kind of like that, you know, the kind of the bully that even though they, you know, had these high academic standards, they were still able to go and play and compete at a national level. It just seemed like it was just yesterday, but it's been a few years since Stanford was able to go do that. And, you know, even schools like, you know, Arizona, I'm enjoying watching Jed Fish and his approach, and they had probably their best recruiting class maybe ever, at least in the last decade, this season. I mean, it's right now it's a top 25 class. And, you know, ASU, you know, they're doing some different things over there with Herm, but it seems like they kind of got, you know, there was some question, is Herm coming back? What about AP? What about the staff? Seems like everything right now, they cut out some coaches, they brought in some new ones. So ASU, I think, I've always thought ASU is a school like that should be able to win consistently. But for me, man, as a fan and as a West Coast guy, I would love to see the Pac-12 kind of come up and be, you know, be relevant. You know, Jonathan Smith, Oregon State, I like what he's doing. He's going to be a school that's going to use the portal heavily to bring in those kids. Again, high school kids, you know, they care about the flash and the dash and whatnot, but portal kids, they want to play and get developed and compete against the NFL. So they don't care about how many times you call them. They don't care about how many DMs you send them, how many edits you send them. So the portal kids, they're going to like an Oregon State or a UCLA, those schools that aren't going to really do that to you in high school. So Jonathan's doing well. So, I think right now it's kind of an exciting time. I think it can get better. It'd be fun if it was better, but I think at least we're going in the right direction, hopefully, treading up, hopefully.
Cheating in recruiting, bigger problem or smaller?
No idea what you're talking about.
Smaller problem.
Cheating.
Name, image, likeness, does it create more problems or does it solve things because, hey, now at least it's out in the open?
Yeah, you know what? That's tough for me to talk about. I said it from the day that I heard about NIL. I'm all about the kids. I want them to get what they can. My concern for kids is always going to be, you know, does it steal away a little bit of your hunger and a little bit of your drive if you're getting paid six figures before you even took a snap? You know what I'm saying? Like some of these, and I've seen some kids in college who already are kind of taking advantage of NIL, and it just, they don't seem like the same player. So is it legalized cheating? That's kind of what it's been called. Is it, people say, oh, it's always been going on. Now it's just a legal way of doing it. You know, originally NIL was supposed to be, you know, the college athlete who are, you know, selling jerseys and, you know, allow that guy to go market himself and get what he deserves. But it's become a huge recruiting tool, and kids are making decisions based off of NIL as a top three or four choice. Before it used to be, you know, I want to go to a winning program. Maybe academics are up there. Maybe location matters. My relationship with the staff is going to be huge. Who can give me the NFL? It's probably going to be first, second. Now it's all about NIL. You know, in college are selling their NIL opportunities almost like first or second. And kids are making that choice. They're going to go to schools based on who can give them the best NIL deal. And some of these NIL deals, can you kind of read between the lines? It's kind of blurry if it's an actual NIL bill or if it's just some booster saying, hey, come here and I'll give you, you know, $100,000. You know, it just that's always been a concern for me. Again, I'm pro kid, but I do think it needs to be maybe looked at and it can be refined to make it maybe a little bit better if that's the best way to say. Now, I don't want to say it's, you know, it's a lot of shady underhanded stuff, but I do think it can be cleaned up just a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's going to maybe cause a big gap between Power Fives and non-Power Fives because of just resources and such. And you saw Deion Sanders on, you know, the early signing day land a player that, you know, never would have considered going to his school, but the game has changed some. Are you worried at all about sort of what happens to mid-major college football or maybe the Big Sky Conference as the Power Fives take up more market share and are able to spend more money in the NIL world?
So I said that right at the get-go. I said, man, what's going to happen to a school like a Boise? I've always been a Boise State guy, right? I just love their style and how just how they develop and get kids that no one else wants, and they beat Pac-12 schools consistently. So what happens to a Boise State or school like that? Isn't the gap going to get bigger? And the reply that people kept saying to me is the gap was already there between your high-level SEC schools, how much money, you know, when I say money, you know, I'm kind of doing the air quotes, you know, in terms of, you know, what are those schools doing to get kids? You know, they're saying it was already going on. So you're saying all of a sudden now the big-time schools, whether it be your Big Tens or SECs, you know, all of a sudden that the gap is going to grow because of NIL. It was already there. This is kind of just exposing that gap was kind of, you know, what it was saying to me. Now, some of these schools, at least they have a chance. At least they can give somebody something, you know, as opposed to before it was just the big-time school from that conference was doing, you know, some stuff that the smaller school maybe couldn't match. At least now they have a fighting chance to say, hey, we can't offer you what they're offering, but hey, here's this. And the fact is, again, this is the argument coming back to me, the kid being looked at by Idaho or a Boise State or even like a San Diego State or a Fresno State, how many times is that kid going to choose them over an Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Notre Dame anyway, right? So there was already different levels and different lanes that these schools were in. The big boys compete with the big boys, and the schools that are going to go to a Fresno State, a San Diego State, you know, those schools, those players are still going to go to those schools. So it's not like all of a sudden Alabama is going to start scooping up all these guys that were originally going to be going to Utah State. You know what I'm saying? So, again, I see what you're saying. Is the gap going to get bigger? I don't know if it is because that gap, I think, was already there in place from a recruiting standpoint.
High school players, you get to know them. You get to see them all the time, Biggins. I envy the position you're in because you get to watch these guys grow and blossom and develop, and they go to the NFL, and you go, I remember that kid when he was in high school. That's got to be a lot of fun.
Oh, I love it. You know, I'm a Rams fan. You know, I know Matt Stafford, his family really, really well when he's playing at Highland Park back in Texas. And so just, you know, watching, you know, Robert Woods, who's not playing, again, one of my all-time, if I did like an all-time, just a GB, Greg Biggins team, you know, he'd be on it. And so, yeah, that is fun. You can't watch a game on a Sunday or whenever the game is and not see a bunch of guys that you were able to develop a relationship with and you root for them. You don't care. It's funny, people always want to say, who's your favorite college team? And doing this, as long as I have, you don't really have a team anymore. You kind of just root for the players that you like and also the guys that you kind of rated high, right? So you look like you know what you're talking about. And then you get to the NFL and you see them drafted, and it is probably one of the better parts of the job. Along with me sitting here talking to you, you know, wearing sweatpants and a T-shirt at home with my dog and just chilling. Like, I'm not a suit and tie guy. So, like, the fact that we kind of have that flexibility is awesome. And like I said, the relationships that you develop, definitely a huge fun piece of the job for me.
Greg Biggins, you're the best. Thanks for making time for us. Appreciate you.
Always, always, man. Thanks for having me.
There he is. The recruiting world spins along. Greg Biggins has got it. We'll talk more about it next. Love what he had to say. Leave it here. You got the BFT. Way off time as normal. Sorry, Judah. I was enjoying that conversation with Greg Biggins.
Me too, man. Me too. Greg delivered.
All right, let's talk a little bit about recruiting. I used to ignore recruiting. I used to, back in the day when it was done in the traditional way, we often wouldn't see the players on the field for several years after they were recruited. So I just said, I'm not getting swept up into recruiting because it's a bunch of false hope and we don't know if these guys are any good. Let's find out 2 or 3 years from now. Can't do that anymore. And the portal has done that in part because you have such talent coming to the programs at a young age, but we're watching younger players participate and play at a higher level. There's more urgency, and it is evident that the college programs have turned the keys over, taken the keys from the teachers, and they turned over the programs to the recruiters. We are now seeing full-fledged recruiters as the head coach when, you know, we used to get the CEO teacher as the head coach. Now we get the guy who would be the coordinator of recruiting who is suddenly now put in the head coaching position because the athletic directors have recognized that if you can get Jimmys and Joes, you can figure out the coaching later. Judah, let's talk about what Greg Biggins said. And Adam, you can join this conversation as well. What jumped out to you, first of all? Because something jumped out to me. Anything jump out to you guys?
Well, he still includes Alabama and Georgia among the recruiting competition for Oregon, which is kind of insane to me still. But, I mean, Mario was doing some recruiting battles with those programs, but it looks like that narrative will continue. Like, Dan Lanning will still go up against Kirby Smart and Nick Saban, and heck, even Mario Cristobal in the state of Florida, to capture some guys and bring them out to Eugene. So, in one sense, I think Duck fans are like, are we ever going to recruit at another level like Cristobal did? Well, the answer early from the experts is not only will you recruit at that same level, there's a chance you surpass it sustainably with the amount of recruiters on this staff. But, John, I do identify with your opinion earlier that these are great recruiters. It doesn't necessarily mean you win football games. And the teaching and coaching element is a little bit different.
Yeah, two things for me. At the start, I think it was a really cool conversation you had about parents stealing the joy away from their kids. If they focus too much on a scholarship, just let them play. And my biggest takeaway, and I hadn't thought about this too much, but in the recruiting landscape, the stark difference between a high school kid and a portal kid.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.